Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Kevin here, and it's a crazy time here as we kind of are coming toward the tail end, hopefully, knock on wood, of the COVID-19 pandemic, and shows are starting to be announced. The world's starting to open up. And I'm kind of reflecting back on this year and a half, almost, of interviews that I've done, and I'm seeing that I've talked to so many cool different musicians. I've talked to everyone from the Black Dahlia Murder to Testament to Armored Saint. So many cool interviews. I've had the chance to speak with Rob Halford, guys from Mastodon, and so many people. When we were forced to be locked down, I just doubled up and reached out to a lot of people that I knew in the music industry and a lot of people I didn't know, and just started creating as much content for you, the listeners, to get out of your own heads and listen to how everyone else is coping. And when I was thinking about this, I realized that there were a couple interviews that I haven't released, whether it be, other things got in the way. A couple of these, actually, I kind of had issues with and was able to retrieve them. So this episode here, as we start to, maybe go to some shows here in the next couple months or so, I'm starting to hopefully maybe do an in-person interview. Who knows? But, I kind of wanted to do a little compilation episode. So I'm going to do three interviews in this episode, a couple of lost interviews. And then what we're going to do is we're actually going to start with an interview with a guy named Ricky Warwick. Now, this is a guy you might not be familiar with, but he's had the pleasure of performing with all-time incredible bands. He has played with both Thin Lizzy and Stiff Little Fingers, his two favorite bands of all time. And he also, Ricky Warwick is signed to Nuclear Blast Records, and he's killing it, man. He put out a solo album in 2020. It's more of kind of like a singer-songwriter, more rock and roll kind of stuff. It's definitely not as like heavy, bombastic metal, but it's really cool stuff. And I was able to speak with Ricky Warwick about his time with such iconic bands, and really growing up and idolizing these bands, and then going on to play with them. After that, I'll be playing an interview I did with Paul Martin from a band from New Zealand called Devil Skin. They're kind of like an alternative metal band, but it was cool to chat with him because this was right at the beginning of the pandemic, and we chatted a bit about, what was to come. And we were all kind of in a weird place where we didn't know what would happen. He had just lost his radio show that he had been recording and producing live since like the late 80s. So, we talk a little bit about that and losing the airtime to that. And then I'm going to end things here this episode with an interview with Ross the Boss from The Dictators and Man of War, as well as Death Dealer and the Ross the Boss band. So again, this is kind of a an odds and ends, triple threat, three-part interview episode. I hope you enjoy this random assortment of rad people from all across the rock and roll and metal world. It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, and I'll be back next week with an interview with Kyle Rasmussen from Vitriol. Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass right now. Switching things up a little bit, and I'm going to be talking with badass Irish rocker Ricky Warwick from Black Star Riders, the legendary Thin Lizzy, the Almighty, and his solo band, Ricky Warwick, going to be putting out When Life Was Hard and Fast out February 19th from Ireland, now and living in Los Angeles, as he just mentioned off air. Been living here for 16 years, man.
Yeah. It's home now.
Nice, dude. You know, so
it'll never be Ireland, but you know, I've been here 16 years and I'm happy. So that's the main thing, right?
So you are you're prolific. You were in the Almighty in the 90s. You joined up with Thin Lizzy, Black Star Riders, and now you're doing your solo thing as the Ricky Warwick band. So this last couple years, or this last year rather, must have been the slowest time for you, like as far as not being on the road. Have you ever like not been on the road for as long as you have in the last 10-11 months?
No, this is definitely a first for me. I mean, I've been playing shows since I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started playing, when we were kids, playing school discos and youth clubs and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 1980. So this is the longest I've gone in 40 years without playing a show.
You getting pretty restless?
You know, it's been nice. It's been nice to be home with a family, unbroken.
Yeah.
I've never had that, you know, certainly, you know, as a professional musician, I've never had spent this amount of time at home. So it's great to be home with the kids and my wife and be there every day. Of course, that's amazing. But, you know, I love what I do. And what I do is part of makes me who I am. And not to be able to sort of do that or sort of look on the calendar and go, okay, you know, we're heading over to Europe next month for a tour. And that was always, you could always see a couple of years ahead what was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not there at the minute. And it's weird. It's definitely weird.
Well, it sounds like you're making the best of it, man. And you said like you're with the family, but what's it like, you know, promoting an album and releasing an album amidst really uncertain times of this global pandemic? What's that been like on your end? And was there ever like any doubt if you wanted to release the album during this time?
It's strange. It's strange just releasing it and not being able to have this sort of, okay, we know we're going on tour for a year to back it up. You know, that not being there is weird. Because I'm obviously dying to play these songs live.
Yeah.
But the album was completed in 2019, so it was all done and dusted before the pandemic was ever upon us. And I didn't change the release date. The release date was always going to be February 2021, because last year my other band, Black Star Riders, we were supposed to be on the road all of last year. But obviously that didn't happen because of the pandemic. So I kind of stuck to my guns and thought, well, you know, I'm not going to bring the solo release forward. Let's just leave it where it is and see where we are at the start of 2021, which is what I did. You know, and sadly we're still very much in the pandemic, although there appears to be some light now at the end of the tunnel with
luckily, vaccines.
And it seems things seem to slowly be turning the corner. So that's good, but it just is what it is. You just got to keep going. You know, you got to go, okay, this is bigger than any of us. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to turn this into, find the positives during this? And that's really the mindset I've tried to keep during the whole thing.
And we got to still have good music, man. And that's good that you're providing a soundtrack.
Where would we be without the arts during all this? I think more people, you know, should probably have realized that more than ever, that, you know, music, you know, books, movies, video games, all the painting, all the arts have been so vital to everybody's mental well-being during this time.
Can you imagine what it'd be like, you know, without all of those things? We'd just be twiddling our thumbs and...
You know, it'd be horrendous, you know, but and that's why I think they need to be appreciated more. I still don't think the arts get the appreciation that they deserve.
So this album is, you know, if you're someone who checks out Nuclear Blast all the time, you may think of them as like a black metal, death metal, hardcore. Like your album, from what I've heard, just the singles so far from the album When Life Was Hard and Fast, it's kind of almost like roots American rock, almost like Americana, almost rather.
Sure. Yeah.
What it seems like kind of a departure for Nuclear Blast, but at the same time, pretty awesome. What brought you together with Nuclear Blast?
I've been on Nuclear Blast now for 10 years.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Black Star Riders are signed to Nuclear Blast.
Okay.
And they signed us way back in 2012 on our first record. And they've been a wonderful home to us. And we're really happy with everything that they've done. And, you know, in this day and age, to be on a label that long is kind of unheard of.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really happy to be, you know, on the label for so long. And they wanted to put out the solo record. And I was like, absolutely, you know, done deal, because I've said I'm so happy with what they've done with Blackstar Riders, and
yeah.
I know everybody at the label, build up relationships with them there. They work very hard for their artists.
Absolutely.
And you know, they have a few bands that aren't in that sort of genre of
like Phil Campbell,
thrash
yeah.
metal. You know, they've obviously got Phil Campbell, they've got the Anthrax guys in there, yep. you know, that aren't. So, you know, there's a little bit of diversity on the roster. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because when they signed us with Black Star Riders, I remember they came to one of the shows, and the owner of the label, I remember saying, because you were really known as like a heavy thrash label, you know, and why do you want to sign with us? And we said, because, you know, you have been there from when we were doing the demos and the yeah. start, and the interest that you showed and the support and the vision that we have, you shared that with us. And you know, that's really what it's all about. I couldn't really ask for any more than that.
I mean, if you can find a label that will just put their all into you, I mean, there's so many labels that, you know, if you don't sell X amount of copies, you know, and I'm
sure.
just speaking from, you know, I'm not an artist, so I don't
yeah.
know, but from just what I've heard, it just seems like, you know, they just move on so fast.
Well,
but,
you know, everybody wants to make money, and at the end of the day, it's a business, and we all have to live and pay our bills, and I get that, you know, but, you know, Nuclear Blast work very hard with the bands,
yeah.
and the expectations are realistic, and I think that goes a long way.
So you said that, you know, you've been playing music since you were 14. Like, what was
yeah.
your first band that you fell in love with as a kid?
I mean, it was really two bands for me, being Irish, and they were both Irish bands, you know, just because they belonged to us, you know.
Yeah.
They were Thin Lizzy
mm-hmm.
and a punk band called Stiff Little Fingers.
Oh, and that's funny because you've played in both. You did some live stuff with Stiff Little Fingers, and then now you're in
yeah.
Thin Lizzy as the vocalist. That's
yeah. I mean, it's dreams come true, right? Careful what you wish for. Careful what you wish for.
That's insane.
Yeah, but those were bands that I idolized as a kid. You know, they really were. And the fact that I've ended up, you know, working with both those bands has been amazing. And like I said, a dream come true for me. But they really were the soundtrack of my youth and the soundtrack of my life. I mean, I still listen to both those bands regularly all the time, and they still blow my mind. I still get a buzz out of it even today.
So I got to ask you about, you know, filling shoes in Thin Lizzy, and I hate to put it that way, but like when you join an iconic band like Thin Lizzy and you're tasked with being the vocalist of Thin Lizzy, do you take the stance of you want to kind of do a Thin Lizzy impersonation, or do you do your own thing? How do you kind of jump into that role?
Well, you don't jump into it. I mean, you can't stand in Phil Lynott's shoes. Phil
yeah.
was iconic. In my opinion, he's the greatest rock and roll frontman that there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody like him. Phil Lynott is still the lead singer of Thin Lizzy. I'm not. Phil's a singer. He always will be.
Yeah.
And that's the way people should visualize Thin Lizzy. I'm just the custodian of his songs. I've been asked to look after these songs and sing these songs and put my soul and my attitude and my energy into those wonderful songs that he wrote
yeah.
with the boys. And that's what I try to do. But yeah, of course, if you want to go and see it, you want the songs to sound similar to the way you know and love them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a fine line. You know, I always say I can't stand in Phil's shoes, but I try and stand beside them.
Yeah.
And that's the best that I can do. And I put my own personality into it, but obviously, you know, we have a similar vocal style. And when I'm singing those songs, I try and sing them as similar in Phil's style, you know, as I can. So that people, you know, they don't want to hear a Thin Lizzy song and some guy singing it in a completely different style, or, you know, four octaves higher than the original. They want to hear those songs the way that they are. And that's what I would do as well. But, you know, I'm not standing up there. I don't play bass, you know, the way Phil did. I'm not standing. I would never dream of trying to even put a little toe in one of Phil's shoes. You know what
okay.
I mean?
I like that. I like how you put them in the custodian, dude. That's really well worded way to put that. Yeah. So
thank you.
Well, we don't even have to imagine. There's been a lot of days lately, and as far as the sure. news, as far as the world goes, you know, and
yeah.
just imagine you're having a crap day and everything's going wrong. You're reading the news. It's all bad. What's an album you can put on that can transport you back to a positive mindset, or, you know, get you going where you need to be?
There's a lot. I mean, I mentioned Thin Lizzy. I can still go back and listen to any Thin Lizzy records.
Yeah.
That'll get me going because I love the band so much. I mean, it can be anything from like a Rose Tattoo album. I love
yeah.
Rose Tattoo. It could be like a Kate Bush album. You know, it could be something that you know, it's completely, people would think that isn't in my wheelhouse. I listened to a lot of soul. I love the Temptations. I love the Four Tops, Martha mm-hmm. Reeves. I mean, Tamla Motown can really get you feeling good and really be uplifting.
Yeah.
So I'm a music junkie. I'm a vinyl junkie as well. So I'm always, you know, there's always something going on. I mean, music is playing pretty much every day at pretty much all the time in my house. There's always something going on, you know? And I just find it great to have it on. Even if I'm not really tuned into it, sometimes it was just on in the background and I'm yep. aware of it and it's there. I don't know. It just soothes me. It's just great.
All right, man. Well, I just got a couple more questions for you. This is Ricky Warwick, new album When Life Was Hard and Fast, out February 19th on Nuclear Blast Records. We're a Seattle radio station, and I'm putting you on the spot, but are there any Pacific Northwest, namely like Seattle area artists? What's your favorite Seattle artist of all time?
Man, you know, there's so many great, obviously I'm preaching over here, clubs and bands that have come out of Seattle,
yeah.
as you know, in the last sort of 30 years. You know who I really, really think is a great Seattle dude is Duff McKagan.
Yes.
Duff started off playing in those punk bands up there, mm-hmm. and he still has that. I've got to know Duff, you know, I've met him a few times, and he still has that spirit and that intensity
yep.
that I think he had when he was a kid playing was it the Farts he played in? Was
yep,
that the name of
the Farts,
band?
Yep.
He played in the Farts, yeah. So he still has that get in the van mentality mm-hmm. even after everything that he's done. And I love that. The other guy I've met a few times that still has that is Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
He still has that whole punk rock vibe and intensity, which is great. So I love that as well. I mean, there's some great bands. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, there's Alice in Chains. I've got mm-hmm. to tour with them when I was in the Almighty very early on in their career.
Awesome.
And that was amazing. I'm still friends with Jerry to this day from Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Obviously, Soundgarden were just a wonderful, amazing band. And, you know, then there's bands, you know, like Screaming Trees as mm-hmm. well, but were amazing. You know, I mean, a lot of that grunge stuff was just fantastic. And because it came out of the kind of punk rock scene, it had an edge to it that I really loved. Tad, a great band as mm-hmm. well. Good music scene up there.
I mean, bands like Melvins and Nirvana were pretty much just punk rock, just in a different key, you know?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I mean, we nearly worked with Jack and Dino when I was in the Almighty.
And oh, wow, okay.
Came very close to doing a record with
Legend.
Jack and Dino, which would have been awesome, man. Sadly, it didn't come off in the end, but I got to meet him. Really bizarre story. I was living in London at the time, mm-hmm. and, you know, we wanted to work with Jack and Dino, and Jack agreed to meet me, and I guess he was coming back from working with a band in Europe. So we met in Frankfurt Airport. I flew to Frankfurt Airport to meet Jack and Dino for a coffee in the hotel cafe for an hour, and then flew back to London.
That's funny.
And he was great. He was really great. You know, it was about 1993, 94. So obviously
the heyday,
the whole thing was the heyday was exploding there. And sadly we never got to work together, but it would have been good.
And he's still working. He's still working up here. So if you ever feel the need, he's working his ass off.
Never rule anything out, right? Because he had a kick-ass band as well. Was it Skin Yard?
Yep,
band, right?
Skin Yard, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they were killer. Really good.
All right, man. Last question for you. Pick a scar on your body, Ricky, and tell us a story of how you got the scar.
I have a couple. That's a great question. I have a big one on my right eyebrow that I got in a fight in Scotland. It's a pretty cool story. I was I was 19 years old, and the band I was in at the time were playing the local, sort of a local town hall, you know, five uh-huh. local bands playing. Yeah. And one of the guys in the other band, I guess I'd gone out with his sister.
Uh-oh.
He was a bit older than me.
Not cool,
and
bro.
I was there with my new girlfriend, and it all kind of kicked off. So I headbutted this guy.
Oh, my God.
And then we went outside to continue the fight, yep. and he'd ran around a corner. As I ran around the corner, he was wearing these kind of pointed goth kind of boots that he used to wear back in the 80s. Yep. And as I went around the corner, he just, boom, kicked me. And as I fell, he kind of caught me in the groin. As I fell, he kicked me again, and the point of the shoe just, boom, split my eye open. And before we could get into it, you know, the fight was split up. But I had blood streaming down my face, and I started to go on stage. And our drummer in our band at the time, his girlfriend was a nurse, so she did her best to patch it up. But about the second song into the set, I felt it burst again, and there was blood just streaming down. I mean, it looked great. It looked brilliant. You know, it must have looked amazing on stage. But yeah, so that was it's never healed properly because I never got it stitched up properly. So it's still got quite a cool scar on the eyebrow. But there you go.
The Irishman in Scotland fighting, dude. Brutal.
What can you do?
I like the story, though, man. Thank you so much for regaling us with the stories.
I was old enough to know better and too young to care, right?
Exactly. So again, the new album, When Life Was Hard and Fast, coming out February 19th on Nuclear Blast. Check out the Ricky. You can pre-order the new Ricky Warwick now. Any final words for the Northwest, Ricky?
Yeah, I hope everybody is safe and well up there. And thank you all for your support. Hope to get back up and play there someday, and you know, we'll get back to rock and roll soon. But just thanks to everybody. Be safe.
Absolutely, man, and you too. And I'll talk to you later, and hopefully we'll see you in 2021.
Hey, it's Metal Shop here on the Rock, and I just got a call from New Zealand. It's Paul Martin from Devil Skin. They have a brand new album called Red. It's streaming now. He is a long serving radio jock in the metal and rock community, doing since 1992. He's a rock star over there in New Zealand with their new album, and he's a busy dude. But first off, man, how are you doing with everything going on right now, and how are you staying safe and sane, and what's the status of stay at home order in New Zealand?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Kevin. Firstly, thank you for having me on Metal Shop, man. It's my privilege, and I really do hope you're enjoying the new albums. Yeah, here in New Zealand, we're still on alert level 3, so we're not really supposed to go out in public if we can at all help it. And lots of businesses are closed down, and people have to queue up to get into any sort of shop or anything like that. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, Kev, pretty much like it is all over the world, I think, at the moment.
It's crazy, man. Well, I got to ask, though, the new album, like, what's it like personally? Because this is unprecedented time. What's it been like releasing a brand new album in the thick of a worldwide pandemic?
I mean, it wasn't our choice, believe me. It's the craziest of all times in living memory for the whole planet, I think, you know, we had to cancel a European tour, UK tour, New Zealand tour. We just had to stop everything, and luckily we can still release the album digitally, and we've only just got to the stage now where we can send out physical copies. So yeah, I mean, I put a big spoke in the works, to put it mildly. But, hey, you know,
I think in a couple years, or when all of this things clear up, or who knows, whenever, you know, things get back to quote unquote normal, I think that you guys will maybe look back and be like, hey, you know what? Remember that one time we released a fucking album in the middle of a storm?
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to forget this whole shitstorm in a hurry, are they? You know?
No, I don't think so.
You know, the other thing is, Kevin, you know, it's a good time. People are stuck at home, and it's a really good time for those of us that love music to really rediscover our love for music and our passion for music. And you know, that's what we're hoping people will do with our album. You know, really dig into it and put it on from start to finish, and, you know, enjoy music again.
Let's talk about it. So the album's called Red. It's available now. And so going into the album, what was your approach? Did you guys have any different approach to this one, or pretty much the same approach? Or what did you guys really want to get through with this record?
Well, we really just wanted to make the best record we possibly could.
Yeah.
We wanted to work with a new producer, and the guy we work with Greg has done Bullet for My Valentine, a few bigger bands, and he's a really nice guy. He's a Welshman, so he's really funny. And we get on great, and we've sort of worked with him on a single before, and we've just got a really good rapport with the guy, and he loves us live, and he wanted to capture that in the studio, you know. So quite often when you go into a recording studio, there'll be a producer or an engineer or someone will say, hey, try this guitar, try this amp, try these speakers, try this, you know. And Greg was all about, hey, bring your own stuff, I want you to sound just like you.
That's cool.
You know, and you know, we demoed something like 30 songs for the album. We had to cut down to 12, so, you know, it almost came to fisticuffs.
Jesus.
I think the songs that sort of are on the album will put their hands up, if you like, you know. Once we demoed them, we went, wow, yes, this has to go on the album. And one of the last songs that we demoed was Do You See Birds? And as soon as Jenny came, you know, it was one of the last, it nearly didn't make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Jenny came out of the vocal booth, she said, I think we should probably start the album with this.
Nice.
We went, yeah. Hell yeah, it's a bit of a throat punch of the song. So, you know, a lot of the material on the album, a lot of the songs, Kevin, are from real life stories, stuff that happened to us. You know, there's the song Endo, which Jenny wrote about her. She had to have an operation for stage 4 endometriosis.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it's pretty nasty. And it's a graphic song.
Yeah.
The video for it. Graphic as well. We did a great video for it. We get our Slayer moment to be covered in buckets of blood. But you know, and we've got a song called The Victor, and that's about us as a band. We sort of came across a really bad car accident out in the middle of nowhere and had to give, you know, best first responders sort of thing for the people that were injured. It was awful, man. There was children hurt and old people, and it was just traumatizing for the whole lot of us. So, you know, that came out in one of the songs. There's another song called Bright Lights, which is about, you know, Jenny being homesick when we're touring Europe and missing a baby, leaving a 1-year-old baby at home sort of stuff. So all the songs are pretty real for us. Mm-hmm. And we think that they all just sort of fit so well together. It just tells a beautiful story. You know, there's highs and lows and darks and light bits and scary bits.
Yeah. Dude, but that's the thing about music is it can help you get all that stuff out, and I'm sure it's kind of like free heavy metal therapy for you, right?
Oh, it totally is, man. It's cathartic, you know. There's another song on the album called Sweet Release, and I wrote the lyrics about a 21-year-old young man here in our hometown of Hamilton, New Zealand, and he was in mental health care and on suicide watch, and they let him go outside for a cigarette, and he took himself to the river and drowned himself.
Wow.
Just a really awful, tragic story, and his poor parents have been dragged through the mill for 5 years over this, trying to get accountability out of the health system and make sure it doesn't happen to other people. And, you know, I had this dream one night, and it was like a vision, and I wrote the whole thing down, and basically we recorded it just like that, and it's Sweet Release. So, I think we're shooting a video for that probably in the next month.
Good, or so.
But, you know, it's songs that mean stuff to us. Like, we get goosebumps when we hear these songs. And, you know, the stories are about life and death, and everyone can relate to, you know, losing someone to suicide or the feelings that you get, you know.
Yeah.
The rest of it. So to us, it's an honest and organic sort of album and collection of songs, and you know, we're super proud of it. You know?
That's awesome, man. Well, if you haven't listened to it, definitely check it out. Devil Skin, again, their new album is called Red. And so you're talking about some pretty heavy stuff there. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, well, I know, that we're dealing with a lot of stress, anxiety, with a lot of negative news. If, say, maybe it's a day where you're getting too much bad news and you're having a really stressful day, what's an album that you can put on that can, like, transform your mental health? And get you back to where you need to be.
There's several. Pretty much Black Sabbath. Anything by Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
I had a crappy day the other day, and I put on Born Again. I sung that to the woman loud as I could in my car. Drove around. It felt great, you know. But Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is one of those albums that just fixes me and heals me.
Yeah.
You know, also stuff like, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival's first album. T-Rex, Tanks. I love Phoebe Snow. There's... A good song is a good song. It doesn't really matter what genre it is to me. if the song touches you, it touches you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all important.
What was the metal and rock scene in your area of New Zealand? What was that like growing up?
It was good, man, because it was. I mean, we're so geographically isolated from the rest of the world, you know. And so, you know, I remember going to school and we'd order Sounds magazine, which later on became Kerrang magazine, you know, and it would take 3 or 4 months to come from England to New Zealand. So we were always behind the times. And, you know, we've always had a small population here. We're only up to 4.5 million now.
Yeah.
But for a long time, we had around 3 million people, and there just wasn't big venues, and there wasn't enough people to really, you know, support the scene in a big way.
Yeah.
You know, good local bands would pull 300 to 400 people. You go see Black Label Society play in Auckland, and they play in a room to 1,000 people.
Yeah.
But, you know, they should be playing to 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So New Zealand's always been a little bit of sort of lagging like that, and it's just, you know, a numbers game. We just don't have the population to support metal and rock as much as we'd love to.
Yeah.
And now with the whole COVID crisis, you know, venues are closing down all over the place, and there's all sorts of people raising money and awareness and trying to save these iconic venues and stuff, but, man, there's just so much dropping out.
Yep. It's a crazy time, man, so from growing up in the New Zealand scene and where you grew up, how did you get into being a radio DJ? Back in 1992 is what I read you started.
1987, man. 1987.
Well, how did you get into radio? Did you go to school for it, or did you just try out?
Not at all. I totally fluked it, and I was playing in a band. We were called Nightshade, and we got interviewed on the local university station.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy had just started this heavy metal show called the X Attack.
Yep.
This guy, Bad Johnny, his name was, and me and him got on like house on fire. He just interviewed us as a metal band because we were touring and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Johnny got on so well, and, you know, we'd just hang out and drink beers together. And he goes, "Dude, we've got the same record collections. Why don't you, you know, come and co-host the show with me?"
Nice.
And I was like, "Dude, radio people, oh, I don't know. I don't want to be a radio person." and he talked me into it, and we co-hosted the show for a year or so. Then he left, and it's just been me for the last 33 years doing the Axe Attack.
That's so crazy, man. What were some of your favorite interviews over the years?
Ozzy was definitely one of the worst.
Why is that? Was it just get him on a bad day?
Yeah, he got him on a bad day. He couldn't be bothered. He was eating an apple into the phone while I'm talking to him, and he just couldn't be bothered. And it's heartbreaking because I'm his biggest fan, you know?
Yeah.
But I've got to speak to Ronnie Dio a couple of times and Rob Halford a couple of times, and they've absolutely restored your faith in humanity.
Yeah.
They're beautiful people. You know, I've been lucky enough to hang out with Lemmy on a number of occasions and Dimebag.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll tell you, probably three of the nicest guys I've ever interviewed were older British bass players. Roger Glover, Ian Hill from Judas Priest.
Yep.
And who's the third one? There's another one. Escapes me right now. I'll give you Butler, for God's sake.
Hell yeah.
Absolute gentlemen, and just, yeah, lovely interviews, and just so passionate about their music and everything. And you know what it's like when you talk to someone who actually really loves what they do. It's easy, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Well, I definitely. It's nice when the people are engaged and actually have some time and are interested, and kind of like you.
I can't get excited about our own songs. I mean, there's something wrong with me.
So I got to ask you, because, you know, you have this insane amount of knowledge doing radio since 1987. We're a Seattle radio show. I got to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot. What are a few of your favorite Seattle bands of all time?
Queensrÿche, right up there.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got? I love Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Queensrÿche, man. I've got right into that band. Especially the early stuff. I mean, the Queen of the Reich EP, when that came out, it just changed us.
I think it was just... I think yesterday was like the anniversary of Operation Mindcrime.
you're right too. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. You know, those albums still sound great.
Oh yeah.
Still sound really good. And none of that stuff seems to have lost its relevance to me.
Just kind of wrap up some of the ideas of like radio and music throughout your life and the importance of it. If you could, why don't you tell me four albums that have made a positive impact on your life?
Okay. Ramones' first album.
Yeah.
Never Mind the Bollocks by the Sex Pistols.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Black Sabbath, Master of Reality.
Hell yeah.
And Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
A couple punk rockers and a couple Sabbath. I like it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I love the energy and the division that punk came out when it first came out in the 70s and stuff like that. It was angsty, and you know, when I heard the Ramones play. Actually, the Ramones was probably the first band I ever saw play live. And I was very young and went to that, and it just bam. Man, I want to do that.
That's awesome. I have a kind of a unique question here, but I bet you could answer with a pretty interesting story. So if you could, Paul, so pick a scar on your body and tell a story of how you got that scar.
So this is my excuse for my fumbling bass playing.
Okay.
But I've got a scar on my left finger, my index finger of my left hand, right in the bottom digit part of it there, right in the middle, where I shot myself with an air rifle when I was 15.
Oh, no!
And I had to have an operation to get the slug taken out. And I remember thinking at the time, shit, it's a good thing I don't play guitar, because this would be, awful. And then I picked up guitar probably 2 years later, and I've always sort of struggled because that webbing between my index finger and my next finger's a bit tight because I've got this big ugly scar there. So, yeah.
this
air rifle went off. Honestly, it was a bit defective, and it fell over, and as it slipped out, my finger went right on top of the barrel, and as the butt hit the ground, somehow it went off. So yeah, I shot myself.
Oh my God!
In the hand.
Luckily,
and then later on, in years, I've been diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome, so I've had like three operations on my hands now.
Oh wow!
Yay.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Well, you heard the scar. Now, how can we support Devil Skin? Obviously, you guys had to postpone or cancel some tours. Your album is out now. How can we support Devil Skin during this time?
Just find us on Facebook or Spotify and have a listen to the tunes and say hi. You know, we're sitting around and messaging people back from all over the world and absolutely loving hearing what people think of the new album. You know, we've got 12 videos out there too, so we're not too hard to find. So
yeah,
if people want to check it out, that'd be great. You know, have a listen to our songs and dig inside them.
Absolutely, man. And this is Paul Martin from Devil Skin. Their new album is called Red. Calling all the way from New Zealand. I really appreciate it. Any final words for anyone listening right now?
Well, it's just great to be speaking to folks in Seattle. And obviously, I mean, it's such a beautiful, so much beautiful and rich history of music and rock music has come out of your area. So man, we can't wait to get over there, Kevin. We want to. This is our next priority is to get to the States, so we want to come and meet you folks and play live for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul, and check out the new album by Devil Skin. It's called Red. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Kevin. Cheers to the Metal Shop for having us.
Absolutely, brother. Have a good one, man.
You too, man. Enjoy that. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye. It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop Backstage Pass Podcast, talking with Ross the Boss, founder of The Dictators and Man of War. And Ross the Boss has a new album, Born of Fire. It is available now. Ross, how you living, man? 2020's been a hell of a strange year. What's going on in Ross world?
Yeah, it's been challenging, I can tell you that. I'm here in New York, and New York is a wacky town.
Yeah.
We're seeing our city decimated, so it's not an easy thing to look at, to be witness of. But I don't know where the ending is, I don't see it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How have you been able to stay sane and like stay, you know, do you have like a routine that you're in these days? Because obviously you'd probably be touring a lot if we were in the normal times. But do you have like a routine that you try to do to just to keep yourself sane?
Well, luckily I have a business here.
Okay.
And it's a sports business, a baseball. We have a baseball cage right here. I'm here right now.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, we have it for 16 years now. And it's pretty successful. And so I spend my time here every day.
You know,
I do everything I have to do.
Yeah.
Include record for the Dictators and record the fourth Death Dealer record.
Yeah.
The third one's out, just came out. And take care. All right. The third Dictators record, the third Death Dealer record is out, came out last week, and sensational. And, The original Dictators have been recording, so I've been busy with that, busy with Death Dealer, plotting. We're going to start new songs for the Ross the Boss Band.
Yeah.
You know, we've done quite a lot of things. We did Vakken Online during the summer, which was very successful. We did...
That's awesome.
I did a remake of Heart of Steel acoustically for the Live Aid crew, Live Nation, Crew Nation.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good to do. So I'll keep it busy. I mean, you know, but I do work every day.
Yeah.
No time off to think about on any of the bull. And I think that's the way to go. I said, if you just sit back and just like brewing, you know, just brewing your own juices there, marinating your own juices, it's not good.
Absolutely, man. That's cool that you have a business, you know, that can hold it steady, because I know a lot of people are hard up right now with nothing, but that's awesome that you have something like a backbone when you're home.
That's
rad.
You know, who knew that something like this was going to happen?
Yeah.
But you can't rely. You can't put all your eggs in one basket in life. You know, so, no, thank God. You know, the cage is doing great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hopefully the morons don't lock the city down again, and which will be disastrous. We'll just put the final nail in the coffin for New York City. So
it seems like a lot of people are moving away from the city these days, at least in New York City. That's what the news reports. I don't know what it's like.
There was one report that said 320,000 people have changed their addresses, but I'm thinking it's more like 450,000 people.
Wow.
Fled, you know, and well, who's fleeing is the people that really can afford to flee.
That's true.
And that's New York's tax base.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the governor was begging people to come back.
Yeah.
You know, listen, you lose control of the police. The mayor has lost control of the police force. They despise him. And, you know, you lose the NYPD in New York City, you're done. You're done.
Man, I hope a lot of things, but let's just, you know, let's hope that the end is near, that hopefully science can win out in the end and we can go back to touring and seeing rock and roll. In this year, unprecedented time, you've actually released two albums, like you said, the Death Dealer album, and then just right as everything was gonna lock down, right around that time, you put out the Ross the Boss album. So
yeah, it couldn't have been worse timing, could it have, huh?
From your perspective, how has that been, like releasing an album amidst the craziest thing in our lifetime? How's that been?
Well, it wasn't planned.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We didn't plan on it. It was just the way the chips fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did our U.S. tour here.
Yep. Killer show.
Yeah. We played here and we did our U.S. tour. We ended it in Philly, February 24th. And then 8 days later, boom, we had a March 6th release for Born of Fire on AFM.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. I mean, you know, just like, it's a fan, you know?
Yeah.
We had everything was... But it was poised perfectly for a killing. And, you know, we had the Born of Fire came out, amazing reviews, amazing amount of respect and good album, really good album sales and CD sales. And we had a whole Euro tour with the Burning Witches from Switzerland.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a great tour. The dates were going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And April, everything's canceled. Then the summer gets canceled. Sweden Rock, Big Gun in Russia, all these festivals we have. Everything gets canceled and actually gets postponed till next year.
Yep.
So, and then we were supposed to have the Europe tour, the same Euro tour right now, November, December, Europe, and they canceled that. That's, you know, no one's touring now in Europe. It's locked in. And so we have that same tour for 2022.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't have any words of consolation other than it'll be awesome when it actually happens. And I think
it will be. But we do have Spanish and Portuguese dates the end of April.
Nice.
And then my singer Mark Lopes and myself will be going to Russia. We have right now there's 8 shows booked with orchestras in each city.
Wow.
So, and Uli Roth, plus Uli Roth and me, I don't know, maybe some other artists, but that's going to be a really fun thing to do for me and Mark and Uli and whoever else is there. And let's hope it all goes. I mean, that will really, and then Sweden Rock, then the Summer Festival. So, listen, I'm not saying it's going to happen until it happens. When I'm on that plane, that's when I'll know.
Yep.
Well, when I get on that stage, I'll know what's going to be. And you know, so the whole industry is just, I don't know. I don't know what people are doing. The crews, the merchandisers, the promoters, the venues, the bands.
Yep.
You know, it's tough. It's tough all over. But we, on my end, we're working hard every single day.
That's great.
And so the Death Dealer record is, we're going to talk about that a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about it, man.
It's fantastic. It's called Conquered Lands.
Yeah.
And we released 3 songs to Spotify. I call it Spotify. And 3 songs. So we're not giving them the whole thing to steal.
Okay.
So we're just, so if anyone wants the record, they're going to have to buy it.
Okay, right on.
If you want the full record, you're going to have to buy it. Actually, you know, pay for it.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And that's
supporting artists. That's the way to do it, dude.
If folks out there want to see live bands in the future, you better support the bands and support the artists. But they're not going to be back. They might not just be. I mean, there'll always be bands coming back, but you want it to be like it was, you know. And they're just, you know, people are just human. They need to live. And
it's interesting that you mentioned the file you call it, because did you see that news story where they were saying how Spotify is now considering doing this deal where if artists agree to less money, to getting less money, they will then get more placement on playlists. So it's
imagine any less money.
Yeah, but so cut the already minuscule amount of money you're getting for plays. Take that and cut it in half or something, and then they'll give you a little bit less money, but you'll be on these playlists. So in my opinion, it's the modern age payola.
It's what I think. It's just thievery. It's just thievery. I don't know. It's just. you can't even make it up. You can't even make how bad that is. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you need like a million plays to get
$80.
$1,000? I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. It's so, you know. So you have to buy the records. You want our product, you got to buy it, okay?
Yeah.
And have an amazing looking merchandise. Different configurations, CD, vinyl, badges, T-shirts, you know, the whole 9 yards. And it looks fantastic. The artwork is great. You know, the record is ferocious. And the record features our new bass player,
that's
Mike
awesome.
LaPont, who also plays in the Rasta Boss Band.
Yeah.
And Symphony X. among others. He's a busy boy. Mike LePond is one, probably the best bass player in the world. Probably one of them. You know, definitely top five in my book. And our drummer, of course, the original, the one after Rhino, was Steve Bolognese, who's also in Ross the Boss Band. Mm-hmm. So I have 3/5 of my band, including myself, in Death Dealer.
There you go.
And that's going to make for interesting touring possibilities.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you're going to be tired as hell if that happens.
Listen, it's an honor to play music. I'm ready to go.
Let's get Ross the Boss Dictators Death Dealer tour, and you'll just be white.
I think the Dictators will be separate from the metal scene.
Fair enough. So you mentioned that you're doing new stuff with the Dictators. What can you tell me about that?
Well, the original band is back together again.
Yeah.
Without Mr. Manitoba, mm-hmm. Handsome Dick is not in the band. It's a long story. I can't get into it, but
fair enough.
Things just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So it's the original band, the way it was created. Me, Andy Chernoff, Scott Kempner, and our new drummer is a very famous drummer. His name's Albert Bouchard.
Okay.
And from Blue Oyster Cult. He's the original Blue Oyster Cult member.
That's awesome. So
we have an amazing, amazing drummer in the band. And
that's killer.
We mixed our first song is done. And it's going to be released soon. We're going to be releasing songs on social media. Well, I guess Spotify, but just to tell people that the band is back and create buzz. And believe me, it's going to create a buzz because this song is unbelievably good. And we have more coming. So when the green light is given, I'm going to have Death Dealer, the Ross the Boss Band, and the Dictators ready to tour. And so folks, that's the result of hard work.
Yes.
Any of you musicians out there listening to me tonight, don't sleep till 12 o'clock. Because if you sleep till 12 o'clock, that's what time it is in Europe already.
That's a good point. You gotta hustle, man. And it's
right.
once things open up and the world opens up again and you can tour, you're gonna be off like a bolt bus, dude. You're gonna be like booked up for the next 5 years, dude. Just straight up different tours. Yep. You'll never be home.
Well, and the good thing about the Death Dealer situation is that I am currently recording Death Dealer 4. Okay.
Already?
So during the March and during all those months of lockdown, we've been writing songs.
Yeah.
So me, Stu, and Sean have been writing tunes, and actually we have enough for Death Dealer 5.
Dude, you're making everyone else look bad.
Well, let me tell you something. It's every day we keep grinding forward.
You're lapping us, yeah.
So Death Dealer 4 is, I mean, I'm almost done. I got like, I don't know, 5 more tunes to cut. And but, you know, I work here all day at my batting cage, which is an honor to work, and because I love sports and baseball and kids. And we're helping the inner city kid here.
Hell yeah.
We're just helping these kids achieve their dreams. And we have we had a college showcase for our travel team, the Cage Warriors.
Nice.
And we have seven colleges at our college showcase this year. And we just set records, and kids were getting offers from college. And it was so much work to get there, but we're getting there. We've broken through, and the organization has 120 kids in it now, 120 players.
Yeah.
You know, like 11-year-old teams, and a lot of kids are playing.
That's awesome.
We managed to, as bad as it looked in the beginning of the year for playing baseball in these fields and with the parks department and no permits and everything, we pulled it off because we went to Long Island, because we're in Queens, we were able to go. Most of our teams played 50 plus games each.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, we just have one team, our big 18U travel team played, I think, 65 games. So we were able to do that. And
wow,
it was a triumph this year. It was a lot of work.
Against the odds. Yeah.
Yeah. Against the odds of doing it. Because let me tell you something. In March, it looked pretty grim.
Yeah, Absolutely.
Because all the high schools canceled, you know. So that was, you know, that whole thing we just kicked this year in the ass of baseball. And they just stopped. They just, we did our last tournament in Long Island, a place called Baseball Heaven.
Okay.
Out in Suffolk County. And we actually, two of our teams won championships. So I just hung the banners up today.
Hell yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, so, you know, putting it all together, I mean, I would say that, I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm frustrated that we're not touring
yeah.
and making money that, you know, of course everybody is, but other things are very, very good creatively.
That's great.
And, you know, I've been making music since 1975 and I ain't stopping.
Couldn't stop you before. It ain't gonna stop you now, man. So
no way in hell.
You got that warrior spirit, dude.
The only ways I'm being stopped is when lights go out.
Well, okay. So I have one final question for you. We got the Death Dealer album out now, Conquered Lands. We got Ross the Boss album, Born of Fire, available now. New Dictators music along coming along the way. More stuff to come out in 2021, etc. But so this week, as we speak, it is Thanksgiving week. Is there a dish that you love above all else, aside from the turkey? Is there a side that you just can't do without?
Well, we do have it. I do have a dish at my house, and it's become a standard at Boss Man's house.
Yeah,
it's called turducken.
Wow. Okay.
And you know what that is?
I've heard of turducken. So tell me how you make it.
It's a chicken. Yeah, you buy it. It's a chicken.
Okay.
Stuffed into a duck, into a turkey. Bones removed.
That's
okay. And it's stuffed with seafood jambalaya.
Whoa.
And let me tell you something, dude. It is un-freaking-believably good.
That sounds awesome.
It's delicious. It's delicious, man. So every year we have the turducken as well as the turkey.
Yeah.
And
as well as the turkey. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have more food than you know. You know, it's like, but we make sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, we invite people over. We, you know, people get eaten, you know. Eventually.
That's great.
And so, plenty of protein.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
But the turducken is amazing. And I suggest anyone interested that you can, they'll send it to you in dry ice, and it comes in, it's ready to go. Just pop it in the oven, and it's delicious.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm going to have to look that up. Thank you for the tip, man.
Do it. Do it.
Don't sleep on the turducken.
No, do it. Great.
Right on, man. Any final words for the Northwest audience, man? I know we had a killer time seeing you live. Obviously, no one can be doing live shows right now, but we're going to be jamming that Death Dealer and that new Ross the Boss. Any final words for the Northwest?
Well, metalheads, you know, I want to reach out. All the best to you all out there. I know it's been a tough year. It's been a tough for all of us. But you know what? We'll get through this. We're going to get through this, and we'll come out better. And hopefully the vaccines are being worked on faster than I've ever seen a vaccine being worked on.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is.
That's what we can do.
Yep.
So we're going to do it, and we're going to get through it. And the bands will be rocking again.
Yep.
You guys got to show up. And, you know, once the confidence is back to show up in big crowds, small crowds, 500, you know, whatever it is, you guys get there. And we'll play our freaking hearts out for you. And we're dying to do it. And you know that. And continue to support the bands. As I said, buy the merchandise.
Yep.
Invest in your favorite groups, not just my group. You know, but invest in your favorite groups, local bands, anybody you know, reach out to them, reach out to the young bands, because it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's get through this together, and the Metal Nation will rise stronger than ever.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.